Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
And welcome to the Green Egg Radio Hour. I'm Ariel Montserrat. My co-host, Sylvie Salou. We're having a huge storm rip through the area, and so in her area and mine, but ours hasn't gotten here yet. So I don't know if she'll be able to get through the phone lines and be able to join us tonight, but we hope so. Our very special guest tonight is someone we had on a few weeks ago, Kira Withers. And if you were listening, you know that she's the creator of the Rupert the Rabbit Stories series of books for children. And they're lovely, lovely, beautiful, beautiful books and wonderful illustrations. And about a week ago, week and a half ago, I guess, I got word through the grapevine that something horrible had happened to Kira. She was shot at in her home, while she was in her office, and by a person who called her a witch. And, you know, it was obvious that that was what was going on. So we're going to be talking about that tonight and how Kira survived and maybe what we can do to help protect ourselves and each other. It is still obviously not safe in every part of America for us to tell people who we are. So, Kira, welcome to the show, and thank you for being on our show tonight.
Well, thank you for the invitation, but, you know, I have to do this right, okay? So here we go. I'm a friend of Rupert, sing it loud and clear. If you're a friend of Rupert, then give a great big cheer. Yay!
Yay, Rupert! Yeah, Rupert's just absolutely stolen my heart.
Good.
Yeah. So, Kira, when exactly did this happen, and can you tell us, share with us what exactly happened?
You bet. Well, it actually has escalated over several months. Well, we started at the end of December, the very end of December, with someone honking their horns. Now, we live in what we call the Glitter Dome, and you can find the Glitter Dome on Facebook, and you can see that we have a very colorful, delightful house. And, in fact, a lot of people mistake our home for a daycare or store or something because it's so colorful. So, in fact, I could probably make a hobby of taking pictures of people who take pictures of our house. But so people honking at us is not something new, okay? But when they lay on the horn and squeal their wheels or lay on the horn and scream at you, that's a little different than, you know, beep, beep, oh, hey, I love your house. You know, a lot of difference there between the two. But and at first it started happening during the day and at night. And then it progressed to just at night and later at night to where it was even 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we have a 94-year-old neighbor across the one street. We have a 70-some-odd-year-old lady across the other street. Our 2-year-old grandson lives right next door. You know, you can't have that kind of stuff going on at 1:30 in the morning, someone laying on the horn screaming at you and then squealing off, you know.
Yeah.
And you just, it's like, what's up with that, okay? What is up with that? So that way, and it was, there was no pattern. At first we thought it was just, you know, kids or some stupid thing or what, you know, you don't know what the heck, okay? Maybe they don't like my hair. Maybe they don't like that we put in a garden. Maybe they just like making us jump. I don't know, you know. But then it escalated to a firecracker that they threw right at the front door. Now, when the street is at the front of our house, and you can see my office from what we call Kira's Creative Corner, and from the street. And at night, you know, you can't see out, but they can see in and right through the mini blinds, and I'm very well illuminated. So anyone driving by can see me. And so they would get to right where I could see them, you know, slam on the horn, yell something, who knows what, and they'd screech off. And, you know, and we tried not responding, Ariel, you know, to just, you know, because, you know, okay, I don't like you, so I throw a rock at you. Okay, well, you didn't do anything, so now I'm going to throw a bigger rock to see if that'll make you respond, you know, type thing, that attitude. Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple of times I just waved at them to say, you know, hello, you know, what's your problem? Okay, and, but then, like I said, it started happening at night, late at night and all that, and we're not happy because you never knew when it was going to happen. You didn't know if they were going to escalate. You didn't know if, you know, my beautiful house, our beautiful house, which I have painted to make it so pretty, so beautiful, whether I would come out and there would be spray paint all over it, you know. I had no idea what to expect. Yeah. Well, so we started calling the police, and I understand. I get it. That laws are reactive and not proactive. Okay, yeah. Something has to happen. I mean, they said, "What do you want us to do? We don't have the manpower to park right out here and watch to see what happens. You know, we're not going to sit inside your house to see what happens. You know, when it happens, give us a call. You know, what do you want us to do?" Well, it's very frustrating, like I said, because you don't know what's going to happen. And it's not every day. It's not every other day. There's no pattern. It could be 9:30 one night and 1:30, you know, three nights later. Or it could be three times in one night. And the vehicles kept changing. There were five or six at least different vehicles. And even though I tell everyone I'm 6 years old, permanently six, I got news for you. These 51-year-old eyes cannot see license plates from my porch. Okay?
Yeah. So,
you know. And then they started turning off the lights on the license plate tags. So couldn't see that anyway. I can't tell you the number of times we ran outside to try to find out a license plate number. And when you're focusing on that little tiny piece of information, you don't necessarily see the kind of vehicle it is. And any of it, if I did, I know a Dodge truck when I see it, but I can't tell you a car from another car. You know? Sorry, that's not my area of expertise, okay? So, and in fact, we did get a license plate one time, and we gave it to the local police. And by the way, the police department is close enough to us where I could throw a rock at them. They are half a block away, okay? And so, anyway, we got the license plate number one time, and we gave it to the police, and they said they'd get back to us. Well, we called them and called them, called them, called them, called them. And finally they said, well, sorry, you know, the vehicle belongs to someone out of our jurisdiction, so there's nothing we can do. I don't believe you. Okay.
Yeah.
But what do you do with that? You know, we are a very, very small town, and there's some big fish in this very small pond, you know, so what do you do with that? And do we want to take it to the next level? Well, you know, Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens, okay? Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that you never know, you know, all this time that we've lived, and I keep painting and making it such a beautiful place to live, that when people drive by, it's always been a pleasure to see them slow down, to wave, to honk, to they can't help themselves. Some of them are mesmerized and find themselves walking into our front yard without even... And then I come out and I say, can I help you? And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, no, it's okay. Come on in. I'll show you. I'll give you the tour. So everything changed, though, back on the 28th of March.
Uh-huh.
Let me see here. I'm reading my notes to make sure I get it right. Wednesday the 27th. It was about 10:30 at night, and they stopped between our house and the one to the south, where, again, they can see me, but I can't see them, and honked the horn, started screaming obscenities, including, this time we heard them, because usually it's just noise, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this time they said, you know, effing witch, okay? And it was like crystal clear now. Okay, duh.
Yeah.
Duh. Now we get why they're doing this. Why? you know, because you want to know, why are you doing it? You know, can we talk about
mm-hmm.
this? Can you stop it? Can I smack you?
you know? Yeah, really.
Tell me what you're doing. So then later on that very same night, Wednesday night, which now is actually Thursday morning because it's 12:30 in the morning, that was when they shot at us, shot at the house. Now, you need to understand that there were some things when this story first broke that we could not share, you know, because of part of the investigation.
Right.
And we are intimately aware that there are some people who were very frightened that this was attempted murder. Okay. It was not a 50 cal. It was not a 22. To the best of our knowledge, it was BBs or pellets. Okay.
Okay.
We did.
All right.
We did find one BB on our front porch. But that was the one that hit our front door and cracked the window. But my window, where they were aiming at me, because this time they didn't come screeching up. They snuck up on the house. They changed their tactics, and they snuck up on the house, aimed at me, and right where I sit is a quarter-size hole through the window. So
wow.
I don't know if they got lucky, if they had several pellets or BBs go through. I haven't found them in my office, but I'm not going to move everything to look for them. Okay.
Yeah.
Too much stuff in here.
Yes. Oh.
But it was kind of comical at this late date, I can say that, okay? The officer that responded saw the hole through the window, said, you know, I'm sorry, folks, but I don't think this was BBs. I don't think so. And through on the other side of my office, right where you would expect there to be, you know, a bullet hole if it was a bullet, there are some holes in the wall. But that's because they're plaster. Our house was built in 1920, not in recent days. So it's not drywall, it's plaster. So there's picture holes in the wall.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So,
well, at least he was being observant.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But the first indication that I had at all was I heard a pop-pop, and something flew off the wall at me. It was very unexpected. I'm in the middle of editing a video for my Friends of Rupert show, and something, you know, jumps off the wall at me. Well, that ended up being the shards of glass from the window that broke. And so... So it's very odd, but then when I stood up, then they squealed off and they peppered the house as they went, hitting two more windows and cracking them as well. So that was not a pleasant feeling in any way, shape, or form. And we did have the police come out immediately, and you know, again, they're just half a block away. And they were pretty upset that this kind of thing could happen in their literal backyard, you know. But but there's no evidence other than the BB and the holes. I mean, no indication of who may have done it, because we could not see the vehicle. And that's what's so frustrating. It is, because, you know, you don't know why, and you don't know who, and you don't know what's next. Okay, so I will tell you, I'll be honest with you, you know, at first we were pretty jumpy for a couple of days because you don't know, you don't know what's next, you know, what's going to happen. And fortunately, when I posted, you know, to say what had happened to me on my Facebook page, I honestly just thought I would get some of my friends saying, because I called for justice. That's what I called for, justice. And I just expected to have a few of my friends say, you know, so mote it be, or give me hugs, or maybe a couple of them call me, say, hey, you know, you all right? What's happening? Type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole world knows what happened. which is really overwhelming and incredible. And Jason from The Wild Hunt, he sent me a note saying that he'd heard about it, that several people had sent him the information, and he wanted to verify and get information, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And once it hit The Wild Hunt, then Selena Fox called me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have had dealings with her and Lady Liberty League in the past. Once upon a time ago, I used to work in the construction industry, so I used to drive heavy equipment and dig ditches for a living. Love it, absolutely love it. But I had a fabulous time, and found out I really love the element of earth, I got to tell you. But what happened was some pretty bad stuff while I was employed with this one particular company. And so I eventually ended up having to file a gender, not sexual, but gender and religious discrimination case against my employer.
Wow.
And so I asked for Lady Liberty League's help with that. And so Selena called me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice long conversation about my options and what I could and couldn't do. And, you know, she has some really, really sound advice. You know, not only is
mm-hmm.
she this, you know, wildly popular icon, okay,
mm-hmm.
if I may say so, popular figure, that kind of thing, but there's
mm-hmm.
a solid basis for the reason why she is so well-liked, well-regarded
mm-hmm.
throughout the world
yeah.
because she's a really smart, smart woman, and
mm-hmm.
she's kind and caring at the same time. And she had some really good advice for me back then. And so when I became a published author, I sent her, in my gratitude, a set of the three Rupert's Tales books.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had my personal information on file.
Yeah.
So when this happened, she called my home to say, you know, hey, how are you? What's happening? You know, and okay, and she asked me, okay, so now tell me, you've already told me what has happened, what you've done as far as the police and legalities are concerned, so what have you done otherwise? So we talked about wards, and we talked about protection and those types of things, and we really had really good conversation, Arielle, we really did,
mm-hmm.
and it was so funny, because she asked me about my wards, and I told her that, you know, they're very strong, and that, in fact, a police officer, one of the responding police officers to one of the incidents, you know, that had been leading up to this,
mm-hmm.
He actually asked me, he said, well, you know, you're a witch, so why don't you put a spell on the road? Now, it was, and I will tell you that I had dealings with him previously. Sorry, within a story, I'm sorry, but here's how it goes, is that my husband Randy was working nights one time several months ago, and somebody came to my door at 2:30 in the morning. I'm usually up till about 3 o'clock in the morning, so this wasn't a big deal. I wasn't in bed. He could see me in the window, okay? But this
mm-hmm.
young man only had jeans on, and he had no shoes on. He had no shirt on, nothing. He knocked on my door, and he said, very non-threatening, said, do you recognize me? I said, no, I do not. He said, but I need your help. He said, I need a witch. And I said, well, I don't know who you are. Please go away. And he said, well, I'm sorry to have bothered you. Please don't tell anybody I was here. So, of course, I immediately called the police, and the officer that was responding, when I told him what had happened, he says, witch, huh? And he kind of snorted, you know, chortled
mm-hmm.
something. And I said, no, you don't understand. I am a witch, and because of what I do, many people throughout the world do know, let alone locally, that I am a witch, and so there might be something more than meets the eye here. He said, oh, I didn't know that. And he was completely respectful from that point on. So
wow.
This is the same. Yeah, it was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. I got to give them a lot of credit for that. So when he responded this time with the shooting and everything, and he said, you know, why don't you put a spell on the road? And I looked at him, and he said, you know, we've discussed this before. I know you're a witch, so why don't you do this? And I said, well, because it would be very irresponsible of me to do that. I can set wards here, but if I set wards in the street, then, you know, innocent people are going to be hurt. He said, oh, well, I didn't think of that. You know, so
wow.
It was...
What state do you live in?
Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, we live in a very small town, too, so... So it was refreshing to have that kind of response, you know, just like, you know, someone else might, another witch might ask me, you know, that isn't
mm-hmm.
quite as experienced or whatever, another pagan, whatever, you know, why don't you put a spell on the road? Well, so when I'm talking about the wards that I have done, and I'm talking with Selena, and she says, you know, and she talked about sprinkling salt in the roadway, and I said, well, you know, isn't that dangerous type thing? She said, no, no, no. She said, think of it this way. You have your wards, okay, and now you, what you need is a secondary zone, okay? Your neighborhood, whatever you feel is your neighborhood, is your secondary zone. So it adds a layer of protection. She said, you know, it's, and what you do is you work to repel those who would harm you or your neighbors. And I said, you know, I feel like this is a real duh moment.
Well, no, it's amazing what we don't think of sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. I've had that experience.
It was just, why didn't I think of that? So,
yeah.
So, as Randy and I thought about it, we actually discovered that the pagan and pagan-friendly people that we know around us actually do surround us. And so that's what we made as our personal neighborhood boundary as a secondary zone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a really, really neat discovery that when we started thinking about it. And even if we didn't have people that we knew, you know, because what if you want to do the same thing and you think, oh, yeah, I don't have anybody around me that's, you know, pagan-friendly or pagans. Well, what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Again, okay, attention. Intention is the most important part. Wherever mm-hmm. you feel is safe is what you do, you make happen. You know?
Yeah, intention is everything, I've been told.
Yes, very, very much so. So at least that's the way that we live our lives here. So because of that, you know, we had a little trouble for a little while, I will tell you, because, you know, we were never anticipating problems before, but now we are. We're jumping, and we're,
yeah.
I mean, this has been going on for some time now, okay? And one time, even when Randy ran out to try to get a license plate, our brick pathway was wet, and he fell down and hurt his leg pretty bad. And so we had to not be jumping after them quite so quickly anymore, you know? You learn along the way, okay?
Yeah.
So, hopefully, anyway, for too many bumps and bruises. So,
yeah.
But, anyway, but we're still, you know, jumping. And, like, you know, we need to stop that. We really need to stop that. And talking to Selena helped us to remember that we are competent. We are enough. We are witches. And we know how to use magic to our advantage. And
mm-hmm.
it's important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid, the universe is going to give you more reasons to be afraid. If you feel confident, you're going to have more reasons to feel confident. So.
Yeah.
So we needed to remember that. And so we needed to physically tell the universe, we feel good, we feel confident, we feel safe, we are protected. Of course, the fact that thousands of people, literally, were pouring energy our way did help us to shift that energy from being on edge to feeling okay and safe again. It really made a big difference for us to be able to shift ourselves into the right frame of mind. So we reinforced our wards, we spread the sea salt in the road with the intention of repelling those who would hurt us and harm us, okay, with their words or their action, didn't matter. And we set up our secondary zone. And then the next night, they shot at our truck. Okay. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, so doggone it, okay. Okay, well, let's try this again.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. So and that wasn't something that we shared with a whole lot of people at first either. Again, just like the BBs, because if someone were to say something along the lines of, hey, I heard your house got shot up by BBs, then we would know that that was a line of questioning.
Yeah.
That would be someone to inquire politely.
Right,
to.
So now they shot at your truck the night after they shot at your office?
Yes, at our house, yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, my gosh, are the police trying to find out who did this?
Well, we had some, what is a good way to put this? We were less than confident in their concern going forward than when it initially happened. I'm going to put it that way. Yeah. Well, and again, you have to remember that laws are reactive and not proactive. And lots and lots of people said, well, why don't you put up security cameras and why don't you do this and why don't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the answer to part of that is, first of all, Randy is a commercial plumber and has been for 40 years. And he is a union plumber. And
mm-hmm.
he has been laid off for much of the last 2.5 years. He's worked
uh-huh.
here and there, but a $600, you know, security camera system is not in the offering today.
Okay.
But even if it was, I'm not so sure we would do it because of the layout of our front yard and where we would have to put cameras in order for it to capture the appropriate information, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, because it's very, very open in our front yard, and I'm not so sure that we could put it where they wouldn't see it, because if they see it, then after we go to bed, they can come and smash it, or they can come and take it, or we're gone, or you know, those kinds of things. And so did we really want to do that? No. No, we really didn't want to do that. And, yes, we do have motion sensor lights. Always have had them. But we also have outdoor cats, possums, and raccoons. And so it wouldn't do any good.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that the police are dragging their feet because you're a witch? Or
no. No, I do not. I really do not. I just think that, you know, that there's other priorities. Here in Pasco County, we have a tremendous OxyContin problem, and unfortunately. And so I think that much of their efforts lie in getting that type of situation taken care of.
Yeah, okay, but somebody has shot at you, and for all we know, they intend to murder you. And this, to me, should be a higher priority than catching somebody, you know, who may or may not, you know, who bought a one OxyContin pill or something. You know?
Yeah. Well, this is true. This is true. Okay.
But,
go ahead. I don't know what to say, you know, because I honestly don't know. But I will tell you that all the officers who have been to our home have been respectful, you know, and and have even shared some information that they maybe shouldn't have here and there. Okay.
Oh.
So
okay.
Yeah, they have, and so they. I really feel that they have taken us seriously, and that they've been very respectful. And so that's a plus. That's a real big plus. I don't know whether it's just that people don't take care of business these days or what the deal is, but I honestly don't think that the police are willing to respond because of our faith. I really do not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. Yeah.
It is, you know, because it wouldn't necessarily be the case in other places, and I really do know that. So we're very fortunate that I can honestly say that I don't think that is a problem. And, in fact, just last night we had an officer show up. He works the late shift, and he knows, he sees, you know, my light on till 3 o'clock in the morning every night, okay? So he didn't have any problem coming by at midnight to talk to us some more. And yes, it was. And he came by, and he wanted to share some information with us, which I'm not going to share with you. And do also, it's part of the, you know, ongoing investigation. And he gave us, you know, his personal extension for his number so that if anything else comes up, you know, so he's really being good about it, really, really being good about it.
Yeah,
so,
it sounds like it.
So it's just a matter of, you know, you have to be at the right place at the right time. And that's what we've been told as far as the security cameras are concerned, that, you know, what we were told is that even if we captured it, no matter if it's on a security camera or if it's in a handheld camera or whatever, you know, that unless the police actually see it themselves and a crime is committed, then it can't be entered as evidence. Now, okay, what do you do with that?
This just doesn't sound right to me.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
How, you know, if somebody's murdered,
they find out who did it then, yeah. But until that happens,
But, you know, okay, so somebody gets shot out and they're wounded. The police didn't see that, so they can't use the hole in the window or the BBs or any of that for evidence?
Well, if they can, they haven't. They didn't take any pictures, and they didn't keep the BB, and they didn't, you know, those kinds of things. So, but you know, so
it makes me wonder if somebody high profile in town is doing this.
Well,
and you know,
I wonder. Yeah, it does make you wonder, and you don't know. You just don't know. And then the other thing that has also happened is because, you know, we're settled in, we're fine, okay, we're good, we're rock solid, and we've been making sure to talk to each other. Randy and I have an incredible relationship that we make sure that we're always communicating and that we're okay and those kinds of things. And we talked about the fact that with this kind of thing going on, that we may have unexpected emotions that come up. And I did, quite honestly. I found out that I was a lot more angry than what I thought I was at the beginning. But we worked through that. We worked through that, you know. So we're okay. And once again, I'm working on one of my Rupert things. Who knows which one? There's so many. Okay.
So you're able to work.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I have to. Well, that was one thing that I think that's what made me the maddest, is because I have so much to do. I am so busy every minute of every day that I can't afford the time away, okay, from doing what I do, okay? And even sometimes the things that we'd like to do, we have to put off because of my work, okay? So that's all understood. Everything's good. We're all good. But and it was important to me that I respond to every person that wrote to us about, you know, offering empathy, offering support, offering, you know, their energy, those types of things. It was really important to me to do that. So that took up like 3 days, okay? And so that's a big chunk of time for me, okay? So at any rate, then the next thing, you know, is, let me see here. I can't remember the date. I'm trying to remember. Was it last night? No, not last night. The night before. I'm working, okay, doing good. We're strong. Everything is great. And it's 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden outside my front window here, there's a big boom, like an M80, maybe a cherry bomb. I don't know what, but a big boom. Laying on the horn, screaming, and squealing out again. You know?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've really had enough.
Yeah.
So, but we went outside and we called the police and all that, whatever. But, and we looked, we searched. I was in the military once upon a time ago, so I knew to smell for, you know, was there any gunpowder? Was there any sulfur? Was there any, those types of chemicals? You know, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's there's no paraphernalia, there's no debris, there's no nothing. I don't know how in the world they set off, because I'm not real familiar with firecrackers and that type of thing, okay? But I don't know how they set off something in the middle of the street from their car and held onto it to make a big boom, you know?
Yeah.
Without leaving some, they couldn't have held onto it because that would blow their hand off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or hurt them anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hold on to something and let it explode, okay? So there should have been, you know, if they tossed it somewhere, there should have been some sort of evidence. And we are very much tree huggers, reduce, reuse, recycle all the time, so there's no garbage in our yard ever, okay?
Yeah.
So there would have been obvious that there was paper that where it shouldn't have been or something like that, you know? So I don't know what happened, and so... So here we are, waiting for the next for the next thing. And we're not waiting for the next thing. I've got work to do. He's got work to do. We've got things to do. And, you know, the police are well aware of it. Like I said, the officer came last night, which was a good thing, because we're getting to be a little bit to the point of, hello, you know, just a little bit. But, you know, we can't let those things stop us from... What are we going to do? Stop writing Rupert's Tales? I don't think so, okay?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to stop having rituals? No. As a matter of fact, I teach the elemental witchcraft tradition, and I just had a student graduate, you know, from their year-long initiation in our side yard. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon, and we have a 9-day-long Chasco Fiesta here every year, and it happened to take place at the same time as the parade, and so and the parade is a block and a half away from us, okay? So,
oh boy.
So we had lots of people parking in our street that could see what we were doing. Hello! You know, but once you're in circle, they go away anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So you just carry on. You do what you do, and
yeah.
you live your life, and so if I never talk to you again, something
oh,
happens, you know, no, you know, we're going to keep on keeping on. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
And, oh, the other thing as far as the, you know, religious thing, the religious angle here, the pagan angle is concerned, is I do have a YouTube channel. It's called, I know you're surprised, Friends of Rupert YouTube channel.
Yep, I've been there.
I know. And so, and one of my latest videos is Old Witch Hazel Cast a Spell, E-I-E-I-O, okay? And it's really cute, okay? And it's all about, you know, that she brings in a bird and she uses a bird in her spell. She uses a lizard in her spell. She uses a fish in her spell. She uses a frog in her spell. And she uses lots of love in her spell in order to make tea and share it with her animal friends. Ta-da! Okay, so, boy, how wicked is that, okay? So, but at the same night that they shot at us, someone, for the very first time ever, put a negative comment on, and it's, I mean, negative is one thing, you know, hey, I don't like this video, or, you know, I don't like your pink hair, or something like that is one thing. But to say effing freak the same night that it happened, you know, there's dots to be connected here.
Okay, you can report that to Facebook, and they need to do something about that because they're stalking you at this point. Now, Facebook's not doesn't have a reputation for taking care of business like they should sometimes.
Right,
but
right.
I would imagine somehow, I mean, they're computer whizzes, right?
Right.
Somehow they ought to be able to track down the IP address and find out who this is.
Yeah, I agree. And the question was, do I want to do that? And should I do that? And all those kinds of things. And, you know, I don't know the answer to that at this moment.
Well, why wouldn't you do that?
Because I don't have faith in, it's not Facebook, it's YouTube. In YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't have faith that they are going to do anything other than to tell me, if they even answer, that, you know, that's not their responsibility.
Boy, oh boy. Have you reported this to the police yet?
Yep, I gave them all of it.
Okay.
I gave them every bit of information there is to have, even when it didn't necessarily mean anything, you know, so that in case there was something else, maybe someone's doing the same thing someplace else, 3 blocks away, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I make sure to tell them everything.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, this is really scary.
Well, it gets ridiculous, Ariel, because, you know, something that might, you know, a month ago have seemed inconsequential, for a really good example, now is makes you wonder, okay? Last evening I went outside and I was getting close to dark, and I saw, like I said, we are tree huggers. We, you know, keep our yard clean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was a McDonald's cup that was torn up right next to the driver's side of our truck. Now, it would be quite the chunk if someone just threw it in our yard. And there's lots of people going, you know, here because of the Chasco Fiesta and all that kind of stuff, so it could have been innocent. Absolutely could have been. But I made sure to approach it with caution in case there was explosives in it, okay? And there wasn't. It was just a McDonald's cup with a lid in it. Okay, great, super, no problem. Picked it up, threw it away, it's done. Couple hours, and so I looked around for more garbage. There's nothing there, nothing, okay?
Yeah.
Couple hours later, after dinner, I come out, there's another McDonald's cup in our yard. Is this a coincidence? I don't know. Is that trying to tell us that we were here, ha, 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 we saw you and you didn't see us, ha, 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 you know?
Yeah.
You don't know.
It's scary. It's scary. You just don't know. I have been in that situation myself, living in a small town in the Bible Belt, and we were outed by people we thought were friends who weren't, and these same people, you know, would have burned down our house with us inside, except a neighbor intervened. And it took us years before we felt safe again. I mean, we don't have, you know, we don't have... you know, protective gates or anything around our property or surveillance cameras or anything, you know.
No, I know.
And it was, I don't think I've ever felt anything quite like that in my life. I felt physically ill, sick to my stomach for quite a long time. These were people we had known. These were people we had helped out, loaned money to, you know. They house sit for a week once when we went off to a festival.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that, you know, that kind of betrayal. And I don't think, you know, I live in the South, and I don't think I know of any pagans that I've met here that don't have some sort of horror story to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always in relation to our religion. Mm. And so I try to tell people, America does not have freedom of religion in every corner of it.
No.
You know, there's a lot of parts, a lot of places, a lot of parts of America that will do these kinds of things just because you're a witch and they heard their preacher or their church or whatever
right.
told them that, you know, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
by the way, is a mistranslation. It's poisoner, not witch.
I know.
Okay. And I would further point out to them that the guy who commissioned the King James Bible to be translated, King James,
yeah.
was bisexual. So take that and shove it down your throat, okay, Mr. Christianista? You know, there's plenty of Christians that don't have a problem with it. They understand who we are.
Yeah.
But there's
yeah.
also, you know, in the Bible Belt, in some of these small towns, word hasn't reached here yet, and they're clinging desperately to their traditions because people are moving all over the place, and they're moving to small towns because that's where they can afford to buy a home or retiring or, you know.
Yes, yes, I do know. And fortunately, well, you know, you say the South, but I will tell you that, and because I'm not real sure where the Bible Belt is, silly me, but I will tell you that, you know, Rupert's artist, Tanya Bennington Osborne, mm-hmm. she lives up in Ohio, and when I visited there, I so love her. I so mm-hmm. enjoy our friendship that Randy and I were talking about the possibility, you know, of maybe having a house up there so that we could
mm-hmm.
be together more often. But
yeah.
I will tell you that I did not feel comfortable there at all. I felt so shut in. You know, we were only there for
wow.
a couple of days, and there's no way that I wanted to live there.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really, and I grew up in Michigan, actually. And so, and growing up there, I will tell you that it was either Catholics or Protestants, you know, it was all Christians, absolutely. We only even had one Afro-American family. There was nobody but white Christians in
yeah.
the town that I grew up in.
And yeah.
I thought I was really something because my mom was so liberal that she let me go to any church I wanted to.
Well, weren't you special?
I didn't know that there was any difference when I was growing up, okay? I had no idea.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, oh, boy.
Anyway.
Well,
what are you gonna
do with it? I know that you made the comment, I read this, that you believe in actually coming out of the broom closet, because
yeah.
the more people that know, the more normal it becomes, you know. And
yes.
let me ask you this. Would you do it differently?
No. And I mean, Randy and I have talked about that several times. Every time we hear the word, you know, coming out, or that she's an out pagan or something like that, I'm being honest with you now, okay? Totally,
mm-hmm.
totally honest with you. My
mm-hmm.
response to that is, I never said I was out as a Catholic. Why would I be any different as I am as a pagan? It did not occur to me. That is the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I am still taken by surprise. I guess that's because I'm a Libra and I'm naive. Okay. You know, even after all this, which is ridiculous, I shouldn't be, but that I believe I have the right to be who I am, no matter whether you like it or don't like it. And
exactly.
I'm going to live my life my way. And so
mm-hmm.
if you don't like it, then we can talk about it, or you can try to hurt me, and we'll see what happens from there. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to go along your way, and I'm going to go along my way.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I will tell you, you know, when we were, I was a single parent, and I had two boys that were 7 years apart, so I guess the oldest was around 16, 17, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I was working full-time in the construction industry. I was driving heavy equipment. I was digging ditches for a living, all that kind of stuff. I made a good wage, okay? But
mm-hmm.
but I also had to scrap every single day. I had a pickup truck so I could put all the, you know, the metal and all that kind of stuff. I had to scrap every day so that I could make enough money to pay for my gas to get back and forth to work. And
wow.
I still did not have enough money to feed my kids.
so we had to go to the Salvation Army for dinner quite frequently. And we had to go to churches to get food. And so that is one of the things that we're doing as Hands of the Goddess. That is our charity group. I don't want to call it charity. I don't know what to call it. But it's what we do is that we help to bring resources together so that people that do have things that are pagan-friendly, that we can make sure that we are connected. And so that, you know, we have a women's homeless shelter that we support all the time with a lot of different donations. People, we're the facilitator, okay? We're the facilitator. We get the resources and give them out where it's necessary, where it's, and when people get burned out of their houses, we have stuff to give them. When people have new babies, when, you know, all those kinds of, when a woman who's in a domestic violence situation, or if a man ever was, absolutely, doesn't have to be a woman. I didn't mean to imply that, okay? So, but these are the things that we do. But I've been to the church where I was driving my truck down the alleyway to go to the church where it was needed, where you have to park to go get the food, and there's this mob of people there waiting in line, and I have Pagan and Proud on my bumper sticker. And I had a true moment of fear at that time, wondering if they were going to mob me, if they're going to be mad at me, if they're going to rock my truck over, they're going to hurt me, drag me out, you know, all these things go through your mind. You honestly don't know whether this is going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
And so what do? You back out? What do you do? There's a moment of truth right there. What do you do? So I went forward, and my heart thumping like crazy, and I parked, and someone came over me and said, "No, you can't park there. You have to park over there." I said, "You know, why is that?" He said, "Because this is just for, like, clergy parking or whatever, okay?" And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I parked over, and I came, and everyone was just as friendly as they could be.
Wow.
And so, you know, I have had a history of success of being with people who had the opportunity to be not good to me because of my faith, and it's been all right. It has turned out good. Although, one church I did go to, and I parked farther away, so, and I didn't wear a pentacle on my T-shirt. I had it underneath my shirt. But I walked in, and I asked for the food, and they said, you know, there's a sign-up thing over there if you want someone to come visit you from the church. And I said, "No, that's okay. Thank you anyway." And one of them says, you do go to church, don't you?" And I am inherently a ridiculously honest person.
I am too. I hear you.
And I said, "Well, not exactly. I am pagan, and so we don't go to church." I said, "We have something similar, but it's not church." And one of them said, I always call them in my mind Thelma and Louise, okay? So Thelma in my mind says, "Oh, what is that?" And Louise immediately started backing away from me, and she started grabbing all these pamphlets and stuffing them into a bag. And they had the worst kind of crap you ever, you know, you're going to burn and all those kinds of things. It was horrible. And so Louise, before I left, I was wondering if they're going to give me the food. You know, I wasn't sure at this point, okay? But I said something along the lines of, you know, if you can remember what it was like, or, you know, history says what it was like before Jesus was born, that's how we worship. And Louise says, you know, there is no one to worship other than Jesus Christ. I said, "Well, okay, you know, you can think whatever you want to. It's okay. You know, it's okay with me. You do whatever you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. Can I please have my food now?" Okay. And so Louise, actually, when she handed me the bag of you know, food for my family, she stuck out her hand and she said, "I'd really like to shake your hand." And I thought, "No, I don't want to shake your hand." But she said, I said, "Why is that?" And I went ahead and I shook her hand. She said, "Because I know you're going to burn in hell because you're not going to be here. So I'll never see
Christ
you again."
It
was so classic.
Did you see her after that?
I just said, "You have a nice day, too." You know?
yeah, exactly. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to have more fun than you.
I guarantee.
says about that. If you don't want it, if you don't want any, you can't have it.
That's it.
You know, we're busy having fun over here, you know.
That's right.
We are known as the fun people.
We have chocolate and goodies, that's right.
Yeah, we come to the dark side. We have cookies.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, my heavens,
yeah.
Garrett. So,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, no, would I do it differently? No, I wouldn't. And here's the other thing. When I was working construction, you know, at first they would make fun. I was usually very often the only female on the job site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I was a 43-year-old grandmother digging ditches around 20-year-old men, okay?
Yeah.
And I can say that, but it's
mm-hmm.
true. I was. I had to do the work, okay? And I did do the work, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And that
mm-hmm.
was the difference, that they were doing it because they had to do it, because they had to have a job, but I was doing it because I loved it. So that's what makes the difference. So, but,
yeah.
And so people would say, you know, guys would come up and say, you know, hey, I heard you're a witch. And I'm like, yes. You know, I know there's something more coming. Well, you think you could do a spell for me, you know, da, da, da. I'm like,
I need to get laid, man. Can you help
exactly.
me with that?
You know that's what it was. And I'm like, well, you need to understand that this has more to do with faith than it does with hocus pocus. So if you want to put work in, I can tell you what to do. And they're like, oh, well, never mind. You know,
oh, if I got to work, well, you know,
forget it. That's right.
It's amazing how quickly they disappear.
You know. So, but,
you know,
so
this is my own personal theory, okay? And
yeah.
It's not based on anything factual. It's just one of those intuitive things that you kind of know.
Yeah.
I sincerely believe, just like in the movies, witches really are a separate critter from the rest of mortals, you know, the
yes.
mundanes, the muggles, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do. I mean, we couldn't, you know, I can no more hide than I'm a witch. And,
no.
you know, I don't know anybody else really that can. It's
no. No. No.
And in a small town, these things get around. And, you know, you might not ever say anything to indicate
right.
it, but they know something's different. They know something's kind of weird about you, you know?
Yes. Well, we even had we just found out that there is a house near us that is vacant and that someone's trying to buy it. We wondered why the dog had been so quiet.
He wasn't there anymore.
Exactly right. So, but... and these people Randy and I were outside together, and these people all came to look at this house that's across the street, and they were like, hey, we love your house. And we're like, yeah, great, you know, and, oh, well, we want to buy this house. And I said, oh, it's for sale. Okay, great. You know, okay. And they want to know if it's quiet and all that here in our neighborhood. And I didn't say, yeah, except for the gunshots. Really, it's okay. No, but I said,
yeah, right.
I didn't see that.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But I said no. I said it's great. It's really nice and quiet, and I really, really like it here. And you know, and I said something. I can't remember what it was, but something about the shooting. I did mention that, and they said, "Whoa, really? What's up with that?" And I said, "You know, well, because." You know, I'm gonna might frighten you a little bit here, but I want you to know because we're pagans. Ooh, you know, and
mm-hmm.
The wife was like, oh, like kind of like what's that type thing, and
yeah.
the
yeah.
yeah, and
yeah.
and the husband was like, that's nice, you know.
Yeah. Did he know what you were talking about? Even
I don't think so, but you know, but it did scare them away, so that was helpful.
Yeah, you know, that I remember a couple of years ago we had neighbors that moved in here, and we just took to each other. They're just wonderful, wonderful people. We don't have a lot in common, but they are just so sweet, and they think we are fabulous. And they rent out a little house that we have, and we finally came to the conclusion, you know, there's these rumors going around town here. Maybe we should just clue them in and let them know, you know?
Yes.
So
yep.
finally, and we're scared because this is after that whole house burning thing. And we finally come out to them and, well, we have something to tell you about ourselves. We're pagan.
Yep.
And they looked at each other and they said, "What's that?" And I said, "You've never heard, you know, the term pagan."
Yeah.
"Well, no, what is that?" "Well, we honor the earth, blah, 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 you know,
yeah,
we celebrate
right.
the changing of the seasons." "Well, that sounds real nice."
Yeah.
That was it. That was the end of the conversation.
I know. I know.
And they're our best ambassadors. Everybody, they tell everybody in town, "We're wonderful." And that,
yeah.
they're just, that's just who they are. They're really wonderful people. But, oh, boy,
and
we're getting to the end
deal.
Of our hour.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I know.
I just want to say, Kira, you have so much grace about this. I don't know that I could continue working. I'd be prostrate for 6 months or something. I mean, I was, you know. Fortunately, I wasn't
yeah.
doing Green Egg at the time. But, you know, it's. I think you are a good role model for how the rest of us can handle these things, you know. And
oh, well,
I
got a new thing. It's okay. Ready?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with you. At some point, you have to live your life authentically. You have to be who you are.
Yes.
And if you allow other people to define that, and sometimes it might mean that you're going to put yourself in harm's way.
It does.
And that's a decision that only you can make. And sometimes
yes, it
it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're never going to know unless you do. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're never going to normalize who and what we are
mm-hmm.
unless they know we're here.
Yeah.
And so, my grandmother is okay. You know, okay, it took her a little while to understand what it was, but she asked some very intelligent questions, and then she's okay with it. And she is
yeah.
one of my proudest supporters, and my parents, they all go to church. They're Catholic. They go, you know, every Sunday. Every freaking Sunday they go, okay? But
mm-hmm.
they are my biggest supporters, other than
wow.
Randy, of course, you know, because they love Rupert.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful. That's really
it
wonderful.
Is. It really is. So that's the only way that you're going, I think. I mean, you know, if we don't say this is who we are, then how is the world going to accept us?
Yeah.
It's a personal decision. Personal
yeah.
decision. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but I,
well,
like I said, I can't even imagine not being out because I am.
Okay. Well, but then, you know, for people who have children as well, that's a whole other... a whole other thing, you know what I mean? It's so it's just another thing to consider in the mix of are you going to, you know, be out or not?
Yeah. Well, and it is, but again, how are you going to teach them your faith and your choices and all those kinds of things if you don't share those things with them? If you
well,
don't,
I know of some kids that have really gone through some serious PTSD because.
Yep.
At school, you know, and not even necessarily from the students, but from the teachers.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. I just think
that's because we're a minority.
Yeah.
And if people like the people who are standing up and you hear in them in the headlines, Nasina, I can't remember her name, but you know that the with the Gideon Bibles that were and all that, she could have kept her mouth shut. Okay, but she didn't, and the whole world knows who she is, even though I can't think of her name right now. Isn't that awful? Ginger Charlotte something. Anyway, isn't that awful? But and it just happened just a little while ago. But anyway, but, you know, if people don't stand up and say no, you know, and not everyone has to, but
yeah,
it's a real personal decision as to what you're going to do.
Well, you know, I think of, like, civil rights and gay rights, you know.
Yep.
I'm old enough to remember... Christopher Street in 1969, when the police raided the gay bar in New York City, and that was really the beginning of the gay rights campaign, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in San Francisco before AIDS hit,
mm-hmm.
and there were people that were out, and that, you know, I heard all of their stories because I had lots of gay friends, and I heard their stories about growing up in you know, Dog Snot, Wisconsin, or somewhere, some little town,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and that's something that's really hard to hide for most gay men, you know?
Yes, it is.
And gay women. And I think we have to take a page from them and just be courageous, you know?
Yep.
Just be
well,
courageous.
Thank you very much for all your time tonight and for being friends of Rupert.
And thank you for Rupert. And thanks for being our guest tonight and being willing to share your story, Kira. That's really nice.
Anytime,
so we really appreciate that, and I'm glad that you're okay, and
we all just wish for your continued safety, okay? We're all putting a circle of protection around you.
That helps. Thank you.
Okay. So that's our show for tonight. And join us next week when our guest is Gwendolyn Reese, who is going to be discussing the results of a giant pagan survey that she did. And so we're going to find out some things about pagans, about ourselves. All right? So have a great week, everybody, and good night. And good night, Tom and Aubrey, wherever you are.
You're listening to Air Amarte Fio Radio, your source for the alternative viewpoint to the news around you. In between the amazing shows here, I invite you to check out Rocked Soul Radio, the latest source for alternative music and metaphysical talk on the web. Click over to rockedsoulradio.com or find us on the Live 365 mobile app by searching Rocked Soul Radio. That's Rocked, R-O-C-K-D, Soul Radio.
You're listening to Air Amarte Fio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hey, everybody. This is Rick Wilson with Scream the News. I've got Evan Batterton online with me. How you doing, Evan?
Doing good, Rick. How are you?
Doing great. Sorry about that. I'm a couple minutes late. I'm having some problems with my phone. I'm not sure if Ruth Ann is going to be joining us for this conversation tonight or not. So everyone knows, you can look me up at Scream the News, and you can find that on Facebook. Just type it in. You'll find it. I also want to say that Scream the News is having a writing contest that ends next Thursday, April 18th. And two pages or less, when you submit either a poem or a rant or whatever you want to do, a short story, two pages or less, the winner will have their written work produced by Derek Gedney of FTF Films. That's Feed the Fire Films. So you'll have your own YouTube video, and you can find Derek as well through Facebook. And for those folks that aren't familiar, haven't heard us before, Evan and I have done a couple different topics before on the radio. And I recommend highly for everyone to look at Evan's work at evanbatterton.wordpress.com. That's evanbatterton.wordpress.com. And just so folks know as well, next week Evan and I will be interviewing Madison Star Moon regarding chemtrails. We've done
some
other shows.
To that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Saw some of those today in Arizona. Tonight, though, we are going to be concentrating on tonight's topic is going to be RFID. And for folks that aren't familiar with that, we're going to try to explain that as best we can and why it's important and why it's a topic. Again, if you go to Evan's WordPress page, you'll find some information. He's done some writing about that. It's gotten a lot of accolades. So thanks for being on tonight, Evan. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me kind of rant about the plugging everybody.
No problem. I was just going to ask you, am I able to enter the writing contest? I would love to enter the writing contest.
I highly recommend it. Yeah.
It sounds
it's
like
to anybody.
Who's the judge?
You got a week,
buddy. Who's the judge?
That's going to be the myself and three other admins from Screen the News.
Okay.
And I'm recusing myself from it because Derek actually produced into video one of my previous poems that I wrote about bullying, because I'm very adamant about how that is. And it's anyway, so he did that for me, so I'm recusing myself. But, yeah, I'll be with three other admins.
Okay, good.
Going over some writing, and then you'll get it produced. If you guys want to enter, I highly recommend that. Okay, so RFID, I know it's a hot topic, and not a lot of people are very familiar with it. Evan, I know you've done a lot of research. What's can you kind of give us a background of, what does that even mean, RFID?
Well, first of all, it means radio frequency identification, and that's usually referred to the RFID tagging, when you tag something. It can be attached to or incorporated into any kind of a product, an animal, or a person for the purpose of locating, and you can remotely store and remotely retrieve data from wherever that tag is.
So it's kind of like GPS. Basically,
yeah. Only it's I'm guessing through radio waves, and that's how it's picked up. And it's just what's important about it is, my blogs deal more with the biochip, which we're going to get into that in another show, I believe. But RFID is everywhere. You may not even realize it, but RFID is everywhere, and it is the future, whether we like it or not. There's really not much we can do about it. All we can do is learn about it and prepare for it as best we can because it's about to consume us. It is. It's about to consume us, and most people don't even realize it. When they think of RFID, they think of, stuff like my blog and conspiracy theory things, and they see, they're familiar with the memes, with the picture, with the chip that looks like it's, compared to the grain of rice, but, man, those RFID chips can get really, really small, Rick. I mean, look like a speck of dust.
Yeah, I agree, and I've been known to predict that a few years ago that we would be dealing with RFID, and as you alluded to just now, we're probably going to save the implanted chip for maybe part two of this. There's a lot to get to, but when you say that RFID is everywhere, what does that mean? I mean, because it reminds me of some movies that I've seen where you're walking through a mall and it says, "Hello, Evan Batterton. Thank you for joining us at this mall today." And it's sort of that kind of idea where you're tracked. It's not just GPS, but this technology has been around for years. You mentioned people aren't aware of it, and I have before too. And Ruth Ann, jump in whenever you want. Feel free, definitely. But when did this begin? I mean, what?
It's been around for a long time. I would say since they started slapping barcodes on things, they started researching what the next step was. From the things that I looked at, the biggest user of RFID, like in the retail world, that we wouldn't know about would be Walmart. And you and I had talked about this earlier on the phone. One of the things that Walmart did was, they started with the barcode, which was controversial at the time when it came out, too. But Walmart told their manufacturers and their suppliers, don't bother sending us anything if you're not going to barcode it. Because Walmart was getting big, and they wanted to keep track of their shipments. They wanted to keep track of everything. They were a profit machine. Yeah. And they profited by letting things go cheaply, so they couldn't afford to lose anything. So that's what everybody did, slapped a barcode on everything, and not too long ago, Walmart made the same statement, only about RFID. If you're not going to RFID the pallets, and you're not going to RFID the products we want you to RFID and tag, then don't bother doing business with us.
Okay,
and
so what's the difference there, Evan, just basically with that, as far as you think, what's the difference of having a SKU code or a PLU code or a barcode? People are familiar with that on things to track things because that makes sense.
Look at it from a positive side. Let's look at it from a positive side. Okay, say you own a business, Rick, and you have all your merchandise RFID'd, and somebody shoplifts from you. And they take something out, and at the end of the month, you do a mini audit, you check your inventory, and, you know, you keep coming up short on a pair of shoes or something, an expensive pair of shoes. And basically, all you have to do is slap in a few buttons, and you can remote locate your missing inventory if you want to. Can't do that with a barcode, but you could theoretically track your lost merchandise.
And the reason that I think this is a hot topic for myself is it's very scary because what we're talking about is, again, I'm glad you brought that up, that, you know, let's look at the positives, because maybe there are positives of if you want to, people do that with their pets, of course, you know. I'll save that, I guess, for the next show because we don't want to get too much into the implants, but basically even ID tags, your work tags, your passports, your visas. And when you mentioned Walmart, I was doing research that showed that, you know, not just them, they're not the only guilty party,
right,
that clothing has RFID. So, yes, and we can say it's for, you know, inventory reasons and so forth, but for me, the scary thing is that means that when I'm wearing a pair, if I buy a shirt at Walmart or a Old Navy or wherever I choose, I'm somehow tracked wherever I go. And it's the same thing with my
tag
Visa
out,
card.
Yes.
Now it's really...
Out, you're tracked.
Exactly, and I think there's ways to do that without ruining your clothing and so forth, but the point is it's in there. And what scares me the most about this is something that you alluded to with your writing on this, is it wouldn't be that big of a deal if I didn't see legislation that was put forth to, you know, include all this. I know I kind of just went over a lot right there, kind of asking you a lot of general things right there, but if you can kind of allude, like, to the legislation, why do you think it's scary? Why do you think we're talking about this? It's freaking me out. It really is, because I don't like the fact that I'm walking around with a pair of jeans and a shirt and a pair of shoes, and I'm being tracked.
Well, let's look at it before we hit legislation, because we do have legislation right now that does include RFID, and that would be our healthcare, our nation's healthcare bill, and then that's going to get into the biochip. But there's been an active push towards something really, really sci-fi, and that's what would be called ubiquitous living or computing. Some people call it the Internet of Things, and it's basically the Internet of Things is merging your environment and everybody and everything all together. That's what it's all about, becoming one. And there are cities, there's a city in South Korea that they're attempting to be the first U city, the first ubiquitous city.
Now, when you say ubiquitous city, ubiquitous, to my knowledge, means it's basically it's everywhere at once. So I think, are you trying to say...
Everything's
basically
online.
Basically through technology, yeah, everything is
we're
going to be included.
We're merging our world with the cyber world. We're merging
right.
our world with the cyber world, and we're going to do it via mostly RFID, but a bunch of other things. RFID is going to be the means to track everything. It's going to be the means to track everything. And I'm going to tell you something here in just a second, you know, without the biochip that'll scare you. And I'm not trying to do that, but, I mean, it's just, you know, basically to get real. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to get real about it. But, you know, we have RFID tags on our food. That would be the next thing. We have these real IDs out now where if, you know, your state doesn't participate in them, and you don't have these upgraded IDs, then, you know, you're going to have to start. It used to be you could just go with your driver's license to the airport and get on a flight. Well, now they have all this crap and this real ID program.
I'm sorry, Evan. I'm sorry, but I hate to interrupt you, but I know we're probably going to tangent again on some different things, but when you bring that up, is it not true? Now, what's the reason for these real IDs and so forth? And what's the big deal of having a driver's license or not? Why are they tracking that? To my understanding, I think
illegal immigration.
Exactly. It is where some states, if you don't provide that, you don't get funding. Is that not?
Well,
is that right?
Yes, some states. Yeah, basically that's it, and they're not. And they're going to have to start. They're going to drop their driver's license, and they're going to have to start getting a federal form of ID. Basically, you know, where your state stuff was good, it's good. It's not good anymore. When you have the real ID thing, it's like you're carrying your papers on you, saying you're legal or not. And yeah, they're cutting people off, and they're putting flight restrictions on them and things like that. So they would not be able to fly. So they're basically sanctioned. The states that said no and opted out of it are sanctioned, unless the citizens want to get a federal form of ID like a passport to fly. That's the only way. So they're really coming down on them hard, man. They're really doing whatever they can to force people's hands into complying. They really are. There's a move towards it, and it's a move pushing in from all directions, you know, right into the center to push towards that Internet of Things, that ubiquitous living.
Well, you mentioned that there's a city in South Korea, but then, as a typical American, you know, so what? I mean, that has nothing to do with me, just because South Korea.
New York City's moving towards it. You know, Bloomberg, he's known for doing radical things and radical policies, and he's starting to make parts of the city ubiquitous. And that would be like, you know, you have anything with RFID or something like that. You walk down the street, maybe there's something in a lamppost that clocks how many people walk by. And it's not just clocking how many people walk by. It has all your data that's associated with whatever RFID tag is on you. You know, wherever it is, maybe you bought a pair of jeans at Kmart or something, or JCPenney's or Walmart, and you couldn't find the RFID tag in it. Well, they know exactly where your ass is, literally, because it's right on you, and you don't even realize it. And anytime you walk by one of these sensors, maybe it's in a sidewalk, or like I said, a lamppost, or maybe it's on the Metrolink, they're clicking you off where you were, you know, and what you did that day.
Well, and to look at it from a positive standpoint, if I'm walking by, like I said, like predictive programming sort of in some movies that I've seen, I think like Minority Report or some others, walking through a mall and it says, welcome, Evan Batterton and Rick Wilson. Rick Wilson,
mm-hmm.
I have your data, so I know that you prefer the color green. Like it knows, it keeps all of your information. So the positives, I guess, from a marketing standpoint and a logistical standpoint could be just a more efficient way of...
It only looks efficient for me towards a marketer, then. It doesn't look efficient for you and I. It really doesn't, or anybody else, because what if you and I are walking down the street and, you know, we run into Tim and Wes, and we don't like Tim or Wes, and we know maybe Tim and Wes just got out of prison, and Tim and Wes have an application on their smartphone, you know, Google Goggles or something like that, and they hold it up, and now they know where we live. They know what we like. They know how much money we make. You know? And
see,
it's not just them. Uncle Sam
has it
all, too.
I wanted to get into that, too. Except that people realize, when we're talking about RFID, I mean, the reason that Evan and I wanted to spend an hour talking about this is because it's very important. Think about this. Okay. The push is... privacy, thank you, yes, but also safety. Now, the push is going to be, and it already has been, and, you know, we've played this game. If I was an evil guy, what would I do? Like you said, of course, what's coming next is food and so forth. Of course I would do that. I would put RFID in everything. Now, when you do that, the push is going to start with kids and the elderly. With your kids, it's to help track them. So if they go to school and this has already happened in Austin, there's been some lawsuits. I know we talked earlier. You kind of wanted to wait that maybe for part two with some other things, but I don't mean the biochip. I'm saying just like a school ID. So the positive on that is, well, if my daughter Riley is skipping class or something, I can track her with her badge, and she has to wear that like a school ID. With the elderly, it's and this has already been pushed. It's to keep track of your medical information. So if it keeps track even of when you take your meds when you're supposed to. So this sounds really great, but there's very evil side to all this, which is an invasion of privacy and safety at whatever you just mentioned. Like if we run into Tim and Joe, whoever, who says you can't have someone else's RFID?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, they absolutely can. It's going to be pushed. It's going to be pushed two ways. It's going to be pushed as security, and it's going to be pushed for convenience. And this is how it's going to be pushed for convenience. It's going to be made to be inescapable. Okay, when you have the development of this increasingly smart environment, it will go some way towards, you know, creating a more systemic relationship, and there's going to be interconnections and interdependencies between us and machines and other objects, and all that's going to tie in with our locality. The emphasis will be embedded onto the new world, which will be the world that's merged with the cyber world, and that will influence and fundamentally alter everything we do, our social practices. Okay, and when you merge RFID onto machines and onto us, whether we use a card or it's hidden in tags or it's a biochip underneath our skin or it's in our clothes and or even in the environment around us, the entire planet is creating a nearly inescapable construct of social life. So we, you and I, all of us, everybody, the people, we're going to have our identities digitally rendered, and that identity is going to stay in that global gridlock practically forever. It's going to be impossible to get out. It's going to be impossible to do anything unless you're online, and it's going to make it to where everything is online. You know, it's like when I argued with people about climate change and global warming, I said, people, if they can control carbon, and they can tax carbon, they can control and tax everything. Or they make the internet everything, and then they pass, Obama says, you know, cybersecurity is going to be the most important thing in safety in the future, so let's pass all these bills to control the internet. What if they turn the whole world into the internet?
Well, and I think that's something, too. I think that we're both in agreement, and I think Ruthanne is as well, is that, you know, call us crazy or not, but we've been around the block enough to realize when Obama, and I don't want to just say him, it doesn't look like we've talked about this before, it doesn't matter who's in office. The president's sort of a puppet as far as we're concerned.
But he did say that, though. He did say that. You know, he said the future of world security, cyber. Yeah, he said that.
Right. So that's the thing. So when he keeps repeating over and over and putting into the minds of people, and it wasn't just him, it was the national... His national security advisor, I think the head of the was it the DOD? I don't know. Anyway,
and the
they
United
keep repeating,
Nations.
We're going the next terrorist attack is going to be cyber. So they're putting that in people's minds to do what? Because we know there's going to be an event where then they can push these things even more.
Yeah. And the question everybody needs to ask is, you know, if you want this convenient life, and yeah, it's going to have a lot of conveniences to it, and you're going to eventually become a puddle of nothing because you're never going to have to think or do anything, but, you know, will ubiquitous computing build the ultimate surveillance society? And you know what? I was thinking that years ago, like, you know, what if we were plugged into everything? They'd be able to watch us all the time. And lo and behold, before Petraeus got kicked out because he got in trouble, he announced a total surveillance network as the director of the CIA for the Internet of Things. That he, you know, the CIA was going to set up a total surveillance network. And
but see, but it,
you know,
it makes sense. It's like 1984. It's the movie. If people haven't seen it or read it, where it does make sense to give people. I mean, you know, many famous people. I don't care if you're famous or not. But forget the messengers. Think of the message. We know that, at least in Western society, in America, people seem to be willing to be able to give up their privacy and their freedoms in place of security out of fear. So knowing that, wouldn't you, if you wanted to kind of have a controlled society, would you not also place more fear in them, like a
sure. Oh my God.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd place all the fear I could, and then I'd make life as easy as possible. I mean,
but
they
I'd
wouldn't
also
have to
make
think.
Laws to enact it. Exactly.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to think. I mean, that's what this is doing, Rick. I mean, it's taking away their need to think. It really, literally is making people more stupid.
Well, it's
I mean,
down. It's part of the whole dumbing down thing.
Wait till people have Google glasses and they have a neural interface and all they have to do is think about something and they have intelligence at the tips of their fingers. You know, the internet in a contact
that's
lens. You know, and that's happening. That's not a science fiction movie. People are developing, you know, contact lenses that you can just blink your eyes and you're going on and you're online.
Yeah. Well,
things are happening.
Steve Jobs even mentioned stuff like that, and that technology does exist. It's just a matter of marketing it into the public or what you're talking about. Yeah, instead of a computer screen, you don't need a laptop computer. All you need to do is look at a wall, and you can think. I know that sounds really out there. This technology exists. Anyway, but you can think, go to www.evanbatterton.com. evanbatterton.wordpress.com, and it will do that from your contact lenses. So this stuff is already out there. The technology is out there, which makes it convenient. Great. But, again, people, this is scary. It really does. It really scares me.
We have drones in the sky, Rick. We have drones in the sky, and it's only a matter
of time
before
we
see them openly patrol the United States. Now, what's to stop a drone from locking onto an RFID chip? And what's to stop a drone's camera from locking onto an RFID chip? I mean, pretty soon some people already have RFID chips in their refrigerators, okay? And people have electronic devices in their bathrooms. You know, higher end people have TVs in their bathrooms and things like that. I don't, but just think about that for a second. I mean, it's everywhere.
Okay,
I want to bring that up too.
How do you know, or how can you tell? If you bought some kind of new clothing, how do you...
You might want to ask, because it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell. From what I've seen, and I saw a good video, I've seen a couple good videos. It's for sure, it's a surefire bet if you go to Walmart. They're doing RFID and all their electronics, which is kind of a given. That's not a big deal, really, but it's in all their pants and their jeans now, too. And other than that, I don't really know what they're doing.
Well,
you know,
but as far as if you want to look at patents, if you want to look at patents, here's the thing. They are cherry picking it. And of course, if you wanted to control people, what would you do? You would put it in clothing and so forth.
Here's the thing.
If you want to look at legislation and patents, Verizon, I think it was Verizon, this was last year. They were part of legislation where the DVR, which is a digital video recorder, so when you have
the cable thing, yeah.
The cable, where there are cameras and sensors in your DVR that cater to your behavior as a human being. So in other words, Ruth Ann, Evan and I are hanging out, and I have my daughter with me, and Evan, you have your sister with you, and Zen, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're hanging out watching. It'll not only keep track of our behavior, but our reactions to what we're seeing, but it also records it on camera and sends that information back. Now, to me, that's what I'm saying. We are already here. This was a push from Verizon to patent, not the technology, so not the patent, but the copyright, I guess, the legality to include that. And it's presented as a marketing tool. Well, okay, if Rick and Ruth and Evan are prefer this type of television and they watch this and watch this, then Rick gets up and he drinks some Kool-Aid. Then I know I'm going to play a Kool-Aid commercial for Rick. It's kind of like what social websites are doing. It's that technology is already there. There's a push to include that to watch us everything that we do. Like what you mentioned, Evan, these ubiquitous cities, and that it really scares me, you guys.
Think about that, though. What would happen, because people are going to know that they're being watched, obviously. They didn't know that was Verizon. I mean, stuff like Verizon. So they're sitting there, and you, let's say you fight with your wife or your girlfriend, and then a commercial comes on for marriage counseling, okay? Or let's say you're having a hard time getting it up, and your wife doesn't like that, and then a Viagra commercial comes on, and you start feeling a little self-conscious. You feel self-conscious all of a sudden. So what does the construct do to you, really, now that you think about it? What it does is it informs the outside, it informs the marketers, the corporations and the leaders of the behavior inside the construct, and it also influences the behavior inside the construct. It influences and informs about everybody stuck in the labyrinth. That's what it does. It's going to influence.
And that's why it's brilliantly perfect. I mean, because...
It is. Yeah, it is.
Again, if you want to control people, that's what you would want to do. Now, here's the thing, too. Again, when I mentioned Western society, I hate to pick just on America, but, you know, we have different friends around the world. I'm just saying many, you know, quote-unquote democratic societies, if you really can say that. That's a misnomer. We are, and now, Ruth Ann, you mentioned this before, being dumbed down. This is happening, and... What better way to do that than to influence? I mean, you know, you guys know the media, the mainstream media, obviously, the three of us would agree, is lackluster in actual journalism. It's more of branding ways for the public to see. So mm-hmm. knowing that, do you honestly think that Western culture, like Americans, I mean, I could see people going, hey, that's cool, the DVR is recording what I'm doing so it knows if I want to drink some Kool-Aid or whatever, if I'm having trouble getting off, like you said, like it'll play something that'll fit to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that too far off as being very effective.
Well, it's going to change people, too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would really make me feel self-conscious, and I would start. I'd have some self-esteem problems. I might start burying stuff in instead of letting the whole world see me, you know, or whoever it is behind the screen that hits the button that shoots the commercial towards me, or whatever robot is doing it those days. It would really. I mean, how many people are going to start going crazy because of that? And really, can you blame them?
It's going to tear down people's self-esteem, their ego, everything, because they're going to feel so ineffectual. It's like, well, whatever I do, you know, here this comes at me, instead of me being able to make up my own mind and, you know, choose things and research for myself, here it is, just forced to.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, Ruth Ann.
Digitalizes communism, dude. That's what it does. It digitalizes communism. It removes your choices for you by digitalizing it. I mean, some people
our social security number. We are becoming a number. We are becoming a product. And like Ruth Ann said, we are becoming ineffectual and like almost unemotional to each other. Where here's the thing, if we let this continue, like you were saying, Evan, like with these, you know, the idea, and I know what the push is. We'll get into that probably at a later time, but there is a push to control us. Now, RFID is a huge way to do that, and this is all around us. I'm talking on my cell phone right now. I have a laptop computer plugged in with a camera on it. Now, I've done research before, too, where, and this is true, the camera itself, the webcam, even though it's not turned on, could be recording everything I've done. Now, there's other folks that have come forward with that saying, that they've been spied on. That can get hacked into. Our cell phones, you're not on the cell phone, can record where you are. How does what can we do as far as RFID, this tracking sort of mechanism that we're going under before we actually do become 1984, where we just become dumbass robots
I just got a disturbing message from my brother, Jaron, and he would know his stuff. He said, you know, every smartphone has a hidden folder, and its operating system place to track your position at all times, and a warrant can be issued to obtain that information. Most apps and phones track calls and other info. They also put, and I've noticed this too, Facebook tracks your browsing to post ads on your feed. I guess personally tailored ads, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's already happening. So we're already being marketed to some degree. But, yeah, the thing about the smartphones, I mean, yeah, they can get warrants to I guess, triangulate position. You know, if they're looking for somebody or they're trying to track somebody down, I think they might have done that with Christopher Dorner. I think I heard that on CNN that day they were hunting for him, or one of those days they were hunting for him. So, yeah, they could track us down with our phones pretty easily. And I have also heard the thing about the phones, Evan, that technology has existed for years.
Now, when we're talking about RFID, I want folks to really understand that. Like, and this has been shown, proven. It's in your Visa cards. It's in my, I have a passport. I know it's in my passport.
I know it's in my passport.
It was in your passport as of 2005, to be exact.
There you go. Coming forward for the past 8 or so years, our clothing, so just for folks listening thinking, oh, they're making this stuff up, like it's in your clothing, it's in blah, blah, blah. No, we're not making this up. It's all around you. So you're right. It does not only scare me, but with the privacy, but with the safety, what can we do to get around that? I mean, legislatively, I don't think there's a way to approach it, you know, in that regard.
Well, I mean, we had
the Obama's Healthcare Act. I think you know about that, Evan.
Yeah, that's a nasty thing, man. That really is. And it's, you know, when we talk about that, I'll inevitably bring up Monsanto too, because what happens is we get laws and they end up being really, really long. And the House and the Senate will start adding stuff to it, and that's how stuff gets sneaked in under the radar.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. That's what happens with most of these things. You know, they call it the pork. That's what's trendy on Capitol Hill now, to call it pork, stuff that doesn't belong. But they all do it. They all put that pork in there. And they're just screwing us over left and right. The only thing that we can do is collectively as a society is refuse to reelect these people, refuse to comply with their laws, with them, with anything they have to say. It's 311 million versus 535 men, I think, in Washington, D.C. I mean, we have them grossly outnumbered. And I mean, we do. And I'm not saying violence or anything like that. I'm just saying we need to send a message, and that's at the next election, either don't vote or write in a third-party person that probably would have never had any chance to get elected. Now, maybe elections are rigged. Maybe elections are rigged, but we'd be sending a message that we're not listening anymore. We're not having it.
But here's the problem that I have with that, Evan, and again, I'm not arguing with you. I'm really looking for a solution. Is what one of the last polls, and, you know, I hate polls because they all come from the same source.
Yeah,
The approval rating, so forget the polls you hear. If it's true, because we all agree, and just ask around, the approval rating of Congress is like, what, 11%?
Yeah.
So, twofold. First of all, I just kind of want to make a joke and, like, who the heck are these 11% that love Congress? Okay, so for the rest of us that don't, that are fed up, that statistic's been around for the past few years, and still nothing's being done. And when you said before about pork, what everyone was saying is, like, you know, when there's legislation going through, like with RFID and what Obama's been talking about, including that in legislature, is the Affordable Health Care Act for America for America Act or something?
Yeah.
It was like 1,017 pages, or it was
– 1,017.
And most senators, congressmen will admit, I don't know, I can't read 1,000 pages before I vote, so I'm just going to vote on it. So I would kind of have to disagree with you. I don't know what to do. I mean, we outnumbered them, but it's not just 535. There's lobbyists. There's a lot of money involved.
To get rid of the Electoral College and get rid of this enormous money, whatever, that is funding the Uniparty, So, you know, we make laws for funding for our candidates.
Well, so, yeah, but we have to amend. We have to actually amend the Constitution for campaign finance reform,
mm-hmm.
and that means we need 2/3 of the vote of Congress to do it. So we're asking the people to cut their money off of themselves.
Right, right. So, you know, if you know anybody locally that's willing to run locally, encourage them. If it's you, do it.
Yeah.
So we build up this groundswell.
Yeah, grassroots, yeah.
Yeah. But we need
At the same time, there's so much control over that. And I'm just trying not to chuckle, Ruthann, when you just said uniparty. I think that's a great description that people don't
realize. It is a good description, yeah.
It is. It's kind of funny. But if you look at folks like, you know, libertarians like Kucinich and so forth, they groundswell, poor in public, no one will know that, and the numbers will reflect that because of the power structure that exists. So tying that back into RFID, when we're constantly being surveillanced, you know, like right now, everything that I do now, like you said, I do feel a little uneasy knowing that I'm always being recorded. Like, but we're allowing it because these laws are being put forth, and we're not doing anything about it.
It's a totalitarian tiptoe, Rick. It's one small thing built off of another.
Right, it creeps up.
They legislate so much crap every day. That's why we have the most prisoners, you know, out of every country on the entire planet, is they're legislating every day, and they rarely repeal anything. And it's just constantly, it's constant. So everything they're doing is legal. You know, just today, the IRS can read through your emails, and they don't need a warrant. So I guess this conversation is turning more about privacy also. It's because, you know, RFID and privacy go hand in hand, but, I mean, it is a lot about privacy, too. So we might as well talk about that. I mean, they're doing things, and they're bragging about it. You know, and they're not really bragging about it because nobody comes out. It's not like a spokesperson for the IRS is going to come up to our face and say, you know what, I can read your emails because there's no law that says I can't. You know, they don't really have the balls to say that, but they'll release a statement to somebody else and let them come out and read it, you know. But so they don't really have a lot of guts. I mean, they are cowards. They do hide behind, you know, the police and everybody else. But I don't really have an answer, man. I just don't anymore. I mean, the best thing that I'm doing, all that I have been able to come up with to do anything is to write this stuff down and share it. That's all I can do. You know, and it's not just like, and I'm not trying to, like, write stuff down and scare people. I'm trying to give people, okay, here's section 1, paragraph 2, subsection, you know, 3, read this, and then follow it back to the, you know, that's the best that I can do.
I'm glad that you're doing that, and I think, I just want to commend Ruthann, too. I'm not just kissing that. I don't, you know, I'm always honest. Evan, I commend you for your writing, and when you're saying you're not trying to scare people, of course, you don't have the intent to scare people. You're a nice guy. You're just being realistic. You're just showing people information. And Ruthann, with you, you know, with the radio shows and everything, you're doing the same thing. I think that's a big awareness thing that's important. Is I'm trying to do the best I can in that same respect, where just talking with people about
alternative media plus the one-on-ones to just try to wake people up. That's what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about education as far as where I'm coming from. I mean, if you start telling people, you know what, they can look at you through your phone. The company can. When it's off, they can look at you. They can turn your camera on and look at you. Maybe they'll put a pillow on top of their phone before they go to sleep. You know, or maybe they'll start covering. I know I cover mine up when I go to bed. I do. I cover mine up.
You know, that might sound crazy, Evan, to people out there, but everything you said is documented and true. And
it's
just for everyone to know, this is very basic. Very basic technology. This is not, you know, like this was got, you know, we gathered this from aliens from Area 51 or anything like that.
It's just getting
this
smaller.
This technology has existed for many years, and it's very easy.
It's only getting smaller.
Yeah, and it using nanotechnology. So just consider this, folks, not to scare folks either, like Evan said, but Everything, your wallet, your pants, your notebook. You don't know what's tagged. You don't know what is. You don't know what isn't.
But that's it. That's what I want to know. How can you tell?
Well, I mean, you just got to go online and you got to look for pictures of RFID tags and clothing, and you got to see what they look like, and you got to see where to find them. I know that some tests have been done on them, as far as stuff that they're in, and they are very weak when it comes to a microwave, like a second and a half, 2 seconds, and they burn up. And that's the only thing that'll burn up.
Yeah,
they burn up very quickly.
You can definitely use a microwave. Like when he says microwave, he doesn't mean microwave technology. That's not what I've been saying. He's saying an actual
microwave.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I've researched that. There's ways to do that.
I have a microwave. I threw mine out for health purposes years ago.
Well, here's the point, though, Ruthann, is, you know, let's just assume this.
Yeah.
Okay, because you ask, how do I know what's tagged and what isn't?
Yeah.
You've got thousands upon thousands of items in your home, with your pets, with your food, what have you. What difference does it make which ones are tagged or not, knowing that
Well, you know what,
anyone...
guys, I'm going to look this up while you're talking, but I think there exists an RFID tag scanner. I'm going to look that up. You guys go ahead.
I think you can buy one. Okay.
Well, see, and that we should create a company that does that. That would be a great idea.
Yeah.
But, Ruthann, do you understand what I'm kind of getting at?
I do.
So,
what? I have very little besides the computers because I am not a consumer, basically. I use fresh vegetables and fruit that I eat. So, I mean, there may be something coming from somewhere, but that and the pet food and litter probably. I don't buy a lot of things.
I'm just saying you own, when you buy a light bulb, when you have a lamp, anything.
And if
so what's the difference of knowing
or what it
where it is?
Or whatever. But
oh, yeah, guys, we can get RFID scanners just like we get a barcode scanner.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What do they run?
That's how you... I'm not really sure because I'm reading an article that says feds at DEF CON alarmed after RFIDs were scanned. I started reading that article while you guys were talking.
Okay.
Apparently somebody picked up on a few RFIDs in the crowd, and the feds weren't happy about that. But it shouldn't be too much. I mean, I think any, you know, Walmart and stores
like
that.
Well, then how do you, Evan, we wanted to say this, too. I know for, like, a follow-up, but I can't help but mention it. Like,
it's already got the RFID in it.
What's?
The scanner. So,
I'm looking at one right now. I'm looking at one right now. They're pretty expensive. I mean, we're talking $1,500.
I don't see the point, though, Evan. Even if they were,
oh, here's
they
one,
were 500. Free, even if they were free, what's the difference? Here's where I'm coming from. I can scan 3,000 items in my home. Am I going to go through and, like, microwave each one of them? Or am I going to, like, try to scrape them out? Or am I going to have to deal with a different... No, this is where I disagree with, Anne, is that... Well, yeah, of course, you don't want them there. But not only for privacy issues, but for safety. You don't know what these things, how they affect your brain and so forth, with these radio waves going back and forth. But anyway, let's say that you could remove, that you have the scanner that can detect them. I'm coming from a completely different angle here. I don't want to spend 5 months going through and scanning every single thing that I buy to see if it has RFID, because my whole thing is, let's say that I do that and I live in my happy little home, my happy little life. My neighbor doesn't know any better. People around the world don't know any better. So I'm coming with more of an effectual standpoint, where it's people like us that need to stand up so we don't have to fucking go buy a scanner to do
it.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to figure out a way to solve it so it doesn't happen, because it's almost like giving up. Okay, fine, I'm going
to
go.
The only way to solve it is to make it illegal at this point, because it's everywhere. I mean, it is. It's everywhere. And I can tell you right now, even if their privacy laws are enacted, they're not following them. They're not. It's just not happening.
Well,
they're not going to fucking...
Laws are just broken by certain companies and certain groups day after day.
This is a counterattack measure at this point, Rick. I think it's just gone too far. I mean, you might have to just scan everything in your house, brother. I mean, that may be the thing. I mean, at least scan everything you get new, and then do 10 items a day, 10 old items a day, so, you know, eventually you're caught up, and maybe your neighbor will catch on. And, you know, you don't need to tell him how important it is. As he sees you scan every day and takes it out, he'll eventually
Google
it.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't want him to, you know, it's not going to take over anyone's life, I hope. But I'm glad you brought that up, too, before, Evan. There's research people can do when you brought up the passports of 2005 or later.
You can make those, I've been told. I've never tried it. But I was told I could.
Those are one
of
the things
you can
microwave.
Here's one thing that's going to scare people. That, and I know we're running out of time, but I really wanted to let people know about this technology, this RFID technology, and this is scary. But you mentioned medication earlier and being able to track the elderly so you know about them taking their pills. There is a movement, and there are pills that are being chipped now. A company called Novartis, I think they make vaccines and stuff too. They have paid $24 million for access to a company called Proteus Biomedical, and they make the chip and pill technology. And basically what these two companies are doing, they're making smart pills where the RFID chip is activated by your stomach acid.
Oh.
And that tells the doctor how many pills you're taking and your pharmacist how many pills you're taking and what you're taking and things like that.
Well,
so, yeah.
That's why I mentioned that earlier, Evan, here's something. I've been saying this for years, you guys. I knew it's just a matter of time before we're all chipped. Now, we're going to save, I guess, the actual nanotechnology and the implantation and so forth for a follow-up. But just so folks are aware, I've been saying this since 2008 after doing some research. And, yeah, they're gonna put it in vaccinations. They're going to put it in pills. This has already been documented. This has already happened. And they will push it as for kids to keep track of them and for the elderly, like you said, Evan, with pills, there's a certain amino acids or stomach acids, any kind of acid actually, will enact it. Here's the other thing is once you have that in your body, they're going to push it as it's a good thing that will help you you know, as a reminder to make sure, like, oh, my grandmother, she's 95. I want to make sure she's on her meds and she's taking the right ones. It'll track all that. However, people make mistakes, and we talked about this last week. The GMOs of Monsanto, like, let's say they have all the best intentions, and we know better that they don't. Let's say they have the best intentions. People make mistakes. So who's to say that, like, there's not a new batch, or, like, the FDA has to recall 20,000 batches of these pills because they accidentally have released the wrong chemical in someone's stomach.
Sure.
Or
can you imagine? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, well, because these things, and we'll definitely talk about this, you know, hopefully the week after, you know, next Thursday when we do the biochip and Obamacare. But, you know, I have strong reservations just from a faith standpoint about taking any kind of a chip in me. But, you know, I really gotta wonder, you know, if you're swallowing something and it's gonna stick with you like that, you know, what's it made out of, and how is it that it's not gonna bother you? I mean, I don't buy that for a second. I see all these pelvic mesh implants on TV and bone stimulators on TV for people who had back surgery, stuff that have been going in people's backs and bodies for a long, long time. You know, being recalled, like you said earlier, being recalled. And this is powerful technology, especially for the bioimplant that Verichip did, that's the center of the most controversy. It has a thing that bonds with your body, you know, and I don't know what that means for DNA or anything. I don't, because they're not going to tell us the truth.
No.
They're not going to tell us the truth.
Well,
they say it's not for control, so they're lying off the bat right there. For me,
well,
they are.
Well, they'll tell
they're
us in 20 years, Evan, after they black out with marker a bunch of stuff once it's requested through Freedom of Information or something. So, I mean, I'm kidding. So, yes, exactly. You're correct.
Well, they don't care.
In 2 weeks, then? Next week is chemtrails?
Next week is chemtrails. We will be joined by Madison Star Moon. She's done a lot of work with chemtrails. She dedicates a lot of her time to it. She's contacted the EPA. She's got recorded phone calls with high-ranking officials. regarding chemtrails and so forth. So, yeah, that's going to be next week.
Yeah, she really takes the bite to them. She really does.
Yeah, and the week after, I don't know, Evan, we'll have to decide. I know I wanted to get to that. Everyone, you've done a lot of writing. I've got a lot going on, too, with different ideas. And thank you so much, Ruth Ann. But everyone check out Stream the News on Facebook. Enter a two-page or less writing material, and by next Thursday, you will have that produced on video. And everyone check out evanbatterton.wordpress.com. Ruth Ann, honey, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you. Yeah, as always. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey,
new blog up in 2 days. I'll have a new post up in 2 days.
What's it going to be about, Evan?
We're going to talk about the Noahide laws. We're going to talk about legally beheading somebody on American soil.
Hey, that sounds like a good time. I usually like to say that for the weekend, but when I'm beheading people.
Yeah,
but,
and this isn't some old archaic law. We're talking this was signed in the 90s. This is Bush Senior stuff, so this is new stuff.
Okay,
right, thank you both so much. And,
have a wonderful weekend, guys. Thank you.
You do the same.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right,
thank you, guys.
Good night.
Good night.